So the plan addresses the creation of and development of major donor programs, of planned giving programs, planned gifts such as bequests, to ensure the sustainability of nonprofit organizations. For example, Pacifica received a $375,000 programming endowment recently. KPFA also received the same amount for programming endowment. These are restricted funds that can be leveraged to increase to double, for example, by asking for matching gifts from other donors or foundations or major donors who are able to make large contributions, and these types of assets ensure the sustainability of our programming in the long term. And it's important to do the legwork for them in every day, actually. So while you do campaigns for planned giving programs, and our plan outlines ways to implement a planned giving program or a planned giving campaign, these are programs that require day-to-day attention. Correspondence with donors is ongoing. Holding seminars and holding events is something that happens on an ongoing basis. Currently, a couple of our stations have planned giving a major donor program, but a couple of other stations, our sister stations, don't. And we see there's a huge room for potential immediate cash infusion from major gifts, as well as long-term financial investment from planned gifts. The third program is web fundraising program. The internet provides a number of relatively low-cost communication opportunities that are still underutilized. For example, the cost of conducting an campaign using Pacifica's website and listeners' emails to solicit financial support is a very cost-effective way of raising money than, say, direct mail campaigns. So as an initial step, we'd like to diversify. We'd like to develop a website to diversify listenership and expand the pool of potential donors to increase revenue through online fundraising, including online store, online advertisements, create more cost-effective fundraising campaigns. If any of you are near a computer, I'd like to invite you to go to www.kpfa.org to see a simple example of an online campaign that's going on right now that's very cost-effective, and we expect it to raise at least $50,000 in the coming week.
I'm sorry, can you give that website again?
It's kpfa.org. kpfa.org. Additional revenue streams, foundation, grant solicitation program. We have a step-by-step way of how to develop and expand such a program. Public events. Some stations have signature events, large events that we do, or ongoing small events that we do. There is a lot of potential there for fundraising, but more importantly for cultivating donors. Good fundraising includes more than just increasing revenue. In fact, if that's all it does, it's not really successful in the long term. And public events are essential to off-air fundraising, but they also benefit us in communicating image and information about Pacifica and its affiliated projects. Naomi Klein calls this branding, and branding is tangible and real. And if it's done well, socially conscious branding is worth more than the money because it includes additional benefits. Credibility, education, increased commitment, good community relations. And finally, direct mail solicitation program is also an area we feel could be developed and where we see potential revenue. Direct mail solicitation can be done in a cost-effective way. It can also be done expensively. If it's done in a targeted way, there is an ability to mine data and be able to target campaigns, it can be very effective. KPFA raises at least $100,000 a year from direct mail appeals, and we'd like to double that. And we feel all sister stations can do the same. At this point, I would like to pass it on to my colleague Sean, KPFK General Manager, to talk about listenership and listener loyalty.
Thank you, Lem Lem. Good evening, National Board members. It's an honor and a privilege to work for Pacifica, especially as someone who's new to Pacifica. It's extraordinarily exciting to be part of the mission. I think
could you speak into the telephone, please?
The mission for Pacifica is obviously incredibly compelling, and it drives all of our content. And we have a situation where we need to take a hard look at the way in which we deliver our content. And so in speaking about increasing listenership and listener loyalty, a lot of our strategy needs to be focused on delivery and format. Increasing listenership is key to increasing funding and our relevance in relationship to our mission. Increasing listener loyalty is absolutely key, or the key element, to converting listeners to listener sponsors. The more loyal a listener, the more likely they become a listener sponsor or member or donor. The other thing that we need to focus on in regards to these two elements is listener behavior, how people listen to the radio, how radio is used in 2008, 2009, how we suspect it will be used in 2010 and on. And we need to prioritize our day parts. Obviously, drive time, I know we're all fixated on drive time, and this is because, especially in markets like Los Angeles, San Francisco, I imagine D.C. and Houston, somewhat in New York, and certainly all over the country with our affiliates, commute time is where people using radio, which is an acronym used by Arbitron, is at its highest. So we need to take a hard look at what we're doing with our drive time. That is what drives, or that is the key element to listenership and ultimately increasing that listenership or audience. And we know that when people are at home, they move to other media outlets. They move to television. They move to the Internet.
Yep.
Of course, we
yep.
can be competitive on the Internet. So Pacifica, to increase listenership and loyalty, I believe, and we believe as a management team, that we must look at three core areas: programming and its content, and delivery of programming and content, and then ultimately outreach. When we have those two pillars solidified, then outreach is the final step to increasing audience and ultimately listener loyalty. But again, this starts with, and we are talking about this now, I believe the network needs to talk about it as a whole. I know local staff has been talking about it. It starts with listener behavior patterns and understanding what people do when they listen to radio. And I want to talk a little bit here about delivery. Obviously, we have some incredible terrestrial signals that are part of the network. KPFK, as an example, covers from Santa Barbara to Tijuana. It's a analog signal. Some of our stations may or may not have digital, but it's a terrestrial signal, and it's primarily used by people driving in their automobiles. People often do not sit at home and listen to terrestrial radio. And so we need to take a look at developing Pacifica.org as a main channel for the network. And ultimately, this main channel will be something that we can use for several purposes, one including outreach, but ultimately we've got to get ready. We need to be ahead of the game here when it comes to 3G or 4G digital streaming, which is already available in handheld multimedia platform devices, Palms, Blackberries, etc. This technology is ready for the automobile. It's already being used in some cases. And once this new world of radio is in full effect, the analog signal will just be one of an infinite number of choices. And it will certainly steadily become less and less of importance to people when they have so much to choose from. So again, what I'm talking about is we all are able to stream audio online. And online streaming will be available in the automobile very soon. And we can be cutting edge. We can be right there ready for this change. It's not going to take a lot. It's going to take some investment, and it's going to take just the will to do it. But you have services. I'm sure some of you are familiar with Rhapsody or Pandora, iTunes, of course. We need to take a hard look at creating the same type of functionality for Pacifica on Pacifica.org. And we do believe that we should invest in the development of these technologies, and we should develop Pacifica.org as a place that we can use now for many purposes, showcasing programming, branding, but most importantly, so we can get prepared for the internet making it to the automobile. And again, I can't stress enough how quickly this may happen. Now, again, we're speaking about programming, its content, delivery, and outreach. When it comes to programming itself, and we obviously need to assess programming. That is the issue that we're really ultimately all attached to when we're talking about our finances, when we're talking about being relevant, when we're talking about our weekly listenership. How many people listen to each station weekly? How many people listen online weekly? We have to be able to assess the quality and relevance of programming throughout the network. And the first step in the process is to understand the difference between content and programming. Sometimes we get that mixed up, or sometimes we use the terms interchangeably. Programming is all-encompassing. It includes but is not limited to format and content. Programming is both how you organize content and how you present it. Now, content is the information itself and the nuances of that information within the programming. And Pacifica's mission, again, a brilliant, compelling mission. I think it brings people to us innately. People seek us out when they find out what we're all about and what we've been about for about 60 years now. And the content at all six units, including obviously our archive, are very much in line with the mission. The bottom line really is format and delivery, how people are using our stations to find the content. The quilt pattern, if you understand what I mean by that, if you look at your program guides or your program grids, we have lots of programs hour by hour, sometimes half hour by half hour. This is This is something that television still does. This type of formatting was invented in the 40s and 50s for Pacifica when radio was as relevant as TV is now. TV was obviously less widespread in the 40s and 50s, and we have still held on to this type of organizing of our content. And we need to take a hard look at how we do this. And again, prioritizing, the way we do business on air. Again, prioritizing by day part and how people use radio during drive time. Commuters, there's been various studies. Commuters, who again are the bulk of our weekly listenership, use radio in a way that they describe as a virtual neighborhood or community. Often people get up when it's dark, they get in their car, they drive directly to work, they go to their office, and in between, when they're going to work, coming home, they're virtually living in this virtual world that is created by radio as a surrogate to their own neighborhoods that used to exist in so many ways, where people knew their neighbors and had more intimate relationships with people in their neighborhood. They use radio the same way. This comes up time and time again when studies and focus groups are conducted. And you can test yourself when you're commuting. If you know where you're going and you don't have to worry about a map or your GPS, you'll sometimes forget, what part of the route you're on and wake up and realize you're halfway through or almost complete and you've been listening to something. Now, a lot of people, again, use terrestrial radio for this because it's live, it's in real time, it's people they're used to hearing on a regular basis. We need to figure out, and we need to focus, and the management team has discussed various options that we're vetting of how to increase our effectiveness within this idea of the virtual community and neighborhood. And it starts with consistency. It starts with people being able to find what they need to in an organized manner. Right now, I know at my station, when you tune in from day to day, you might get completely different ways of doing things. It's much like if you were to get your periodical, your newspaper, your magazine, and each day it was organized differently, and it was very difficult to find information or to feel comfortable reading through your magazine. That's what we're experiencing. At K, and from what I can tell, we might be experiencing throughout the network. So we need to look at the day parts. We need to look at day-to-day ways of carrying listeners throughout the week, making them feel comfortable, making them feel as though they know what they're going to get. And it doesn't, I'm not talking about content. I'm talking about how they're going to receive content. And ultimately, we do believe that Pacifica should really take a hard look at and consider implementing as quickly as possible a or several national programs. We know that these types of programs generate most tune-in. From taking a look at Democracy Now! As one example, but you can take a look at programs at other networks. We know they generate revenue, and there's several, a handful of reasons that national programming is very effective. But ultimately, it will help us create that consistency that people are looking for. Again, back to content, our job is to reflect the communities we serve. Our job is to reflect underserved communities. And now we have a dilemma of finite space on air and an infinite number of communities, community leaders and activists who would like to be heard. And our answer to this has been, give somebody a half hour, an hour show, and it doesn't matter where they are, somehow people will find this. That's just counter, again, to listener behavior. Instead, we need to prioritize day parts, work with our staff in helping people come to us, increase accessibility, package content, deliver that content on a consistent basis in drive time and other places. Finally, there's outreach. Again, this isn't obvious. This is marketing. This is promotion. Once programming has been redeveloped or reinvigorated and consistency and quality enhanced, the final step to increasing listenership and listener loyalty, of course, is outreach. This process should include targeting key audiences and developing ways to reach the most cost-effective, reach them in the most cost-effective and impactful ways. We should be utilizing Radio Research Consortium. They crunch the Arbitron data for nonprofit. Nonprofit radio. We have an account with them. We should be using Development Exchange Incorporated. They also crunch data for us, especially on the development side, and other ways of assessing focus groups so that we can assess market share and Pacifica's audience potential within all five terrestrial radio markets, all of our affiliate markets, in our international and online markets as well. With benchmarks in place, Pacifica is ready to partner with cultural, political, and other media outlets to market and target audiences. And we've had several really good programs that I've witnessed just in the last 6 months I've been working for Pacifica. And our campus campaign with PRA is a great example of it's a fundraiser, it's outreach, it's interactive, it embodies our mission. This is one great example of how to do all of the things I've talked about in one campaign. Again, it's an honor to work for Pacifica and to be a part of such a brilliant mission. And I'm going to turn this over to Tony Riddle from BAI.
Thank you very much, Sean. It's been a really good process for me to be able to listen to my colleagues in this way, in this presentation. And so I have the honor of being able to sum up for you what it is that we're trying to do. And I think again by saying, you know, just very clearly that we at Pacifica are a network, but we're not a network of wires and signals. We're a network of people. And what you're watching right here, what you're hearing right now, is the beginning of a process that seems a little late in starting, which is very important. And that's the process of the coming together of the general managers of your network. I have benefited greatly from the conversations that we've had, and I only regret that they've only just begun to start happening over the past month or so, instead of earlier in my term here at WBAI. But what you're hearing in basis is the idea that in a network, the people who are charged with carrying out the day-to-day business ought to be acting in some level of coordination, that we should be able to share information and ideas, that we should start combining costs, that we, as a group of managers, possess a sort of realism based on the realities of day-to-day running the operation. We know what we're capable of doing, and we know what we would really like to be able to do given the opportunity. We recognize that we're in a position to provide some leadership because of the overview we have of our particular units, the heavy responsibility that we bear, and the size of the group being able to come together and provide some leadership where needed for the rest of the network. We do recognize, though, that there's one position missing from our group, and that's the position of executive director. And throughout all of our conversations, One of the main things that we've agreed on, definitely, is the great need to provide the central leadership for not only our group, but for the network as a whole. I'd like to reiterate some of what's been said before. I'd like to point out what Dwayne pointed out, which is that there's a great level of experience here. Unfortunately, we're all gaining experience at a greater rate every day than the number of hours we spend in the day working. Under Lemlin's report, the need for planning, for sustainability and relevance, the pointing out that we depend very heavily on one major source of income, which is the on-air, and that we need to move to other sources of income, that we need to expand our off-air fundraising, that we should reduce our back-end expenses, and that the Internet possibilities for the network are vastly underutilized. Sean pointed out that we need to increase listenership and loyalty, that part of the way that we do that is that we need to adapt to the changes within the media and the way that people use media. He took some special emphasis on dealing with expanding and improving the content that we have, but also pointing out the need for recognizing the different means of delivery and outreach that those will take. That we need to put some greater emphasis on Pacifica.org and involve ourselves with the new streaming methods that are becoming available. But furthermore, that we need to increase the accessibility both for the people that need to use our air and the people that they need to reach, and that we should be doing that through greater outreach. Now, finally, I'd like to say that amongst this group, you have a great amount of vision, that you have a lot of ideas that are ready to come to the fore, and that we're here today to ask you to empower us to work more together with each other, to put us in a position to work together, to combine our knowledge and to combine our resources in a way that make them more efficient. I have to tell you just personally that I have a great deal of excitement when I talk to them, that they represent the best of the network, that I've learned greatly just by sharing with them and have made improvements to our own operation, and that this is the way that we need to go. We want to remind you that if there's going to be a new Pacifica, that it's your general managers that are going to be very key in making that happen, because we're there on a day-to-day basis. We are your general managers. We belong to you. What we want and what we need for you is to believe that together we can build the Pacifica of the future, solvent, relevant, and strong. So we hope that you'll take our work together into consideration and help us to be empowered to carry that work out. We'll take your questions when you're ready.
Okay, thank you very much, all four of you, and I will take a stack.
George?
And anybody else that wants to be listed now?
Lori?
Madam Chair, this is your timekeeper. I just want to let you have exactly 5 minutes, just so you can, organize yourself.
I'd like to move that we add an additional 10 minutes.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, is there any objection? Hearing none, it's now.
Could you add the card to the stack, please? Thank you.
Yes. And I heard some other voices before I begin the questioning. I have George and Sakai. Everybody spoke on top.
And Kathy.
Lori. Bonnie.
Rob Robinson.
Okay, let me do it.
Aishi Bird.
Okay. I have George, Sakai, Kathy, Lori, Bonnie, Rob, and AC. So, George.
I want to thank you all for the thoughtful presentations, and I hear some energy and some new perspectives and some new ideas there, and I'm glad to hear it. I had a question, and it's a little bit unfair, I think, for three of you, mostly been there with only a year or so, but we've been talking about national programming for quite some time and the need for it. And it hasn't happened. We had a national program coordinator, which sort of expressed the commitment of the network to getting it done, but it didn't happen. And so the question is really twofold. One is, what was in the way, And the other is, what are you going to be doing to make it happen that's going to be different?
You know, just anybody jump in who wants.
Yeah, I put that out for anybody who wants to respond.
Yeah. So if nobody's going to jump in, I'm going to select someone to begin with. Dwayne.
Sure, thanks. I thought it might come this way. George, my take on it is that there has been a reticence in the past. We have not really had a lot of national leadership in my tenure. I've had three executive directors, two of them briefly, a number of interim executive directors, sometimes national staff, oftentimes no national staff. And we've also been bogged down with lots of turmoil over the years on an ongoing basis. I think that we have reached a point at which we are forced to make some really hard choices here, as you all are faced with some really hard choices. And I think that we have grown a management team here with Brian from the archives and Ron, in addition to the four of us that you've heard from tonight. I think that we have some unity of vision that has been missing in the past, and I think that that's one of the big differences.
Okay. Sean?
Can I follow up a little on that?
Oh, yeah, I just wanted to see if Sean wanted to respond as well, or else we'll...
Okay, fine.
I'm here. I honestly, as you all are aware, I can't speak to the past, but I have to echo what Dwayne said, and from my short experience with this management collective, general managers and PRA director, we do have a sort of unity of vision here, which is that we believe that our potential for audience growth is huge. Los Angeles alone, I mean, we have a station in L.A., a nonprofit station in L.A. that has 600,000 listeners. In San Francisco, there's a nonprofit station that's got 700 or 800. In New York, there's one that's got nearly a million. People are looking for alternatives to mainstream media, and we have the best mission of all. And it takes is coordination to get some really good ideas off the ground, and I'm really happy with the cooperative spirit of this collective. I mean, I was just out at BAI a week or so ago and had an incredible experience speaking with Tony for a few hours. We share almost an identical vision for the network, and I can tell all of us are on the same page. So I'm really optimistic that we can get a lot of things done very quickly because we all are on the same page.
Okay, George.
Well, share some more of that vision, because I'm looking for some. That's what I'm really looking to hear is that kind of perspective. Is where and as concretely as you can is what the things you might do in the next 6 months, so for instance, mm-hmm. to promote national programming of the kind we're talking about.
Well. The creation of a national program, you know, we're going to meet the first week of January in person. At least that's my hope. If not, we're going to have to do some web conferencing or something. But we need to really get together and hash out details. But we're already speaking to one another about the creation of national programming. Plus, we have several great offers out there, too. But ultimately, what I'm talking about and what we're talking about in general for increasing listenership is increasing access by our local community, giving access to our local community, to the leaders, to people who need to be heard, who have a good story to tell. It's ultimately what people want to hear. But doing it in a way that makes sense, in a way that is up to date with how people use radio. And I'm talking about making it so that people can package their content, their story, their series of stories, and present them in a way that people are used to when they tune into radio during drive time. Some people call it a magazine format. There's several ways to describe it, and there's several options, which we haven't, as a unit, completely vetted. We're still in that process. But that's going to happen very quickly. And then we'll be able to present, you know, a package, two or three packages. But this is not, you know, restricting access. This is going to increase access, because I've talked to some of my local station board folks who have programs, and they might have a show, you know, at 2 o'clock on a Tuesday. Well, it'd be nice if we could take that content, package it, deliver it in drive time as well. And this type of attitude towards programming and delivery of content, I think, is healthy. This is how we're going to be, again, relevant to the commuter, the person looking for a virtual community, somewhere to live on the radio as they drive, somewhere they feel comfortable to tune in and go, I'm going to get that Pacifica way of doing things. The issues, the content that Pacifica feels strongly about, I'm going to be able to get that without having to mark on my calendar 2 o'clock this day, this month. It'll come consistently on a daily basis.
If I can just add, just to George, just to also talk up a little bit about, you said we've been talking about national programming, but where is it and what's been in the way and what are you guys going to do to make it happen? It's through, I think, shared vision and cooperation between the managers, of course, makes projects, national projects, easier to implement. But I also want to remind everyone, for the past year, we've actually, you know, there is the issue of delivery, which Sean addressed in terms of delivering content to a national audience and an international audience through the internet, packaging it a certain way, making it compelling and appealing to different audiences, to a drive time audience, to internet audience, etc. But there's also the issue of doing programming of national scope. So I just want to also remind everyone that we have done lots of programs in the past year with national scope, and being very cooperative with one another, very collaborative with one another in broadcasting them across the network. Some of them were time delayed. Some of them were simultaneously broadcast. That's something new. I remember 3 years ago when I first started working with Pacifica, it was very difficult to get agreement on broadcasting a national event simultaneously or collaboratively, producing it and broadcasting it across the network. Talking about ways of also presenting it on the web and distributing and sharing and helping promote one another's programs. I also want to add, you know, one of the things we, for the past, since I came into the picture in the discussion about sharing programming and resources, last year or maybe a year and a half, 2 years ago, there was discussion about stations sharing programming. And we said, you know, that's a fantastic idea. And we take one program from WPFW, from WBAI, and one program from sister station KPFK. We'd like to do more. We'd like to take more programs. I have been slowly reaching out to producers at various programs, asking them for samples so we can, you know, do a series of their programs, carry it on an ongoing basis, you know, just opening up the doors and basically just thinking of programming in a way, you know, the way we think of programs sometimes is as the property of the producer. It's actually something that we produce for the listeners. So putting the listeners in front and shaping everything based on their needs, because it's being done for them.
And And I'd like to point out, too, you know, we've benefited greatly from the event-driven programming of the network, where it's, you know, very clear that there's certain events that take place and that these would be of value even though they're produced by another unit. For instance, the Winter Soldier piece out of Washington, or the two conventions, you know, come to mind, and the coverage of the conventions. But, you know, we have 168 hours at each unit per week, and I find it's everything I can do to try to listen to my own 168 hours. And so I'm really not up to speed on what's at the other units. And so it strikes me that one of the things that holds us back is that we don't have a concrete method of identifying and sharing programs, but that, on the other hand, this is not all that difficult. So it seems to me that we ought to be able, as a network, to set up a means and a time at which we do prospective program sharing. Because if you look at the national programming that exists, you know, the obvious one being Democracy Now, and then there's some others as well, most of these develop at the local level and then expand, you know, as they're vetted by audiences and sort of improve, and that their worth becomes obvious, then other folks pick them up. So I would benefit greatly if there was a real circumstance whereby the units were able to share, you know, on a given day or a given week, or, you know, through some process, you know, here's the four or five programs that we think other folks might be interested in. Then we'd be able to draw from others and they could draw from us. But that's just a matter of setting up a mechanism, and I don't think that that's been done.
Okay. You know, we have a long list, and I want every board member that's already on the list to have the opportunity to get their questions in. Zakai?
Yeah, it would be great if we could kind of streamline this. I agree. One thing I'd like to see, I guess when your final plan comes out, is addressing the aging demographic and what ideas you all have to bring on more innovative, exciting, and insightful programming and content. There's been a lot of talk about the mission, but I don't know if we're actually reading the mission. A major part of the mission talks about hosting classes and workshops for writing and producing drama, offering awards and scholarships for creative writing, having performance facilities for musical, choral groups, students, promote and aid other creative activities which serve the cultural welfare of the community, to create a lasting understanding between nations, to identify causes of conflict and study antagonisms amongst various groups, and to provide news sources not commonly brought together. If we were actually consistently doing any of that, which is tangible and relevant to all the communities, we probably wouldn't be having this discussion about the economic strife within the network. So I would really like for us to really be serious and honest about the mission of Pacifica, which is a lot broader than just putting voices on the air. I think if we were really addressing some of these issues, we would have communities, you know, rallying to our support. Another thing I'd like to add is that, once again, I'll make the cry to take it to the people. We're people-sponsored, people-funded radio. So why not think about an American Idol kind of approach to finding new shows? Over a 1 month or 6 week period, you know, identify some shows that you know, you all think will do well, and get listeners to, hey, you know, between the hour drive time. On drive time, we're trying these new shows out. You guys call in, let us know what you like. Whatever you like, we're going to run it national. I think you see a spike in listenership. I think you see a lot of excitement. And then also looking around the network and identifying shows that are already good and seeing how they could go national, supporting those programmers to get their shows that national platform, in much the same way that Amy Goodman was supported with Democracy Now, except for not, you know, selling the whole farm to the programmer, keeping it within the family of Pacifica. Also, in reading the email that went out, the Word document, I didn't see a network approach to fundraising or anything like that. Each individual station had their proposals, but I think that's the difference between what is being brought to us right now and the turnaround that we need. I don't think it's an either or. I think it's a both and. You know, we definitely need more coordination amongst the GMs. We definitely need national programming, and we also need a turnaround, a change in the model for how we work as a network. We're having a hard time even thinking and even talking as a network of stations. The last thing I want to say is that this is the 60th anniversary of Pacifica, and if we do not use this opportunity to get out of this financial hole, we are foolish, and history will show such. This is an opportunity to reach out to all those people who have benefited from being on the air. That's the academics, the authors, the various musicians and whatnot, to get them back engaged in doing a national fund drive that's truly national to get us out of the hole. And I would hope that the GM, in their plan when it's finalized, address that this is the 60th anniversary of the entire network. This is the prime opportunity for fundraising. Thank you for your efforts, and hope that you expand and really look closely at the mission. Really look closely and read it again, and really, you know, imbibe these issues about education and community involvement.
Okay.
So, Thea Stack.
I think that there was at least one, if not two, questions in there. One being how you're going to address the demographics of age. And the other one was your reaction or plans in terms of national programming and whether or not there was anything around the 60th. Were those the two questions, Zakai?
I would like for them to maybe get some feedback on the idea about a listener-driven a national programming kind of call-in.
Okay.
Thing.
All right. Sorry. You're right.
Yeah.
There was that.
Yeah.
All right. So somebody answer, and rather than everybody answering, if people have an idea in their head to respond, please do so, because we're almost out of time for this entire meeting.
Oh, wait. Point of order, please.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, if there's a concern of time, I'm assuming that there's going to be a follow-up to this meeting. I'm assuming that there's going to be a follow-up to this presentation.
Mm-hmm.
I think in brief, I'll say, yes, point well taken. In our discussions of developing new programming or packaging and the way we deliver programs, we do take into consideration our aging demographic, the fact that our average listener is above 55 for most of our programs, and talk about ways to do outreach, especially using the internet, utilizing the internet to reach people between the ages of 20 and 40, collaborating with other organizations where they may be members, and doing programming with them, using widgets, doing interactive types of outreach campaigns and programs to attract younger people. Call-in, yes, definitely. Talk, a national talk program would do well for Pacifica. It's one of the things that we are discussing and vetting.
Okay. Anybody else want to respond? We are really creeping towards the end here.
This is Grace.
And there is a point of order.
Isn't there a stack?
There is.
Carolyn, point of order. I think we're out of time, and I'd like to move to extend for 30 minutes. We extend the entire meeting for 30 minutes and perhaps
second.
This segment for 10, because we have a lot of business to conduct, much as I'm interested to hear the rest of this conversation.
We have a time certain to end, so it would have to be by two-thirds vote to extend. Madam Secretary.
Grace Aaron.
Yes.
Nia Bediako.
I just want to make sure the meeting.
Nia, say it again. You're going in and out.
Yeah. How long are we extending for? To how long?
30 minutes.
And 10 for the GMs and 20 for the rest of our agenda.
Is that it, Madam Chair?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know. I'd pass.
Evelyn Bethune? Evelyn? Carolyn Burden?
Yes.
AC Bird?
Pass.
pass. Kathy Davis?
Yes.
Zakai Free? Zakai?
So, yes.
Effie Nwangaza?
Yes.
Margaret? No, sorry. George Reiter?
Yes.
Rob Robinson?
Yes.
Jamie Ross? Jamie? Wendy Schroll?
Yes.
Yes. Bonnie Simmons?
Sure.
Lori Taguma?
Yeah.
Jack Van Aken?
Yes.
Joe Wanzala?
Yes.
Yo Shamanaka?
Yes.
Evelyn, Nia, sorry, Nia?
Yes.
I'm sorry?
Yes, Donna. Yes.
Okay, thank you. Evelyn, are you there? AC Bird?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, it looks unanimous.
Yep. 15 years.
All right. Next on the stack is...
Madam Chair?
Yes?
Do you still have me on the stack? I thought I would have been earlier.
Kathy, you're next.
Okay. My question is, the ideas to me sound very, very exciting, but my worry is that they, translating from ideas to actuality might take a lot of time. And I heard talk of investment in infrastructure, and we just heard from the CFO that his plan for dealing with the loan is to call for more layoffs. So I'm wondering if there's any kind of timeline for income coming from your ideas, and if there's any timeline for implementing some of the changes in programming.
Wendy, actually, I think Zakai spoke a little bit earlier and said something about seeing a document where there was a financial or like a fundraising plan from each station. That was something we pulled together to maximize. That was not something that was that had anything to do with our long-term plan. That was something we did separate to address the short-term cash flow issues we have across the network, and also to maximize on, you know, this period, this season being a fundraising season. And we did need to come up with specific plans for each station, because each station already has projected revenue for the year, had planned some campaigns. But whoever hadn't thought of one additional thing, you know, they added it to theirs. So those were additional things that each station was going to do in the coming 60 to 90 days, I think. So yes, we've come up with that to address short-term financial crunch issues. And to identify ways to do some infusion for the short term.
Lem, you have to talk louder.
The long-term fundraising plan, yes, does have a timeline. There is projected revenue by campaign, by year, and it grows over a three-year period. Implementation would probably begin in the third quarter, I would hope it would begin in February. Say February, March. I think some of that might depend on central leadership. I think if there is an ED in place, possibly easier to facilitate implementation of plans. But I believe all managers of all stations and the archives are committed to vetting through this plan, reaching agreement early January, and beginning implementation right away. And so, yes, we will start seeing increase in revenue, hopefully, from those efforts.
Okay.
In terms of programming, there are also, yes. So in the future, in January, once the general managers meet, we will be able to share some timelines. both for revenue growth and for implementation of new programming ideas.
Okay. Lori?
Hi. I just wanted to say congratulations to all the GMs and their efforts to move forward with collaboration on national programs. And also, I have a question for Tony at WBAI.
Yes, ma'am.
I think the last time I heard you speak, I think it was about 6 months ago or maybe four, you were talking about addressing the, reducing the overhead costs at WBAI. And I was wondering how that is going.
Well, you know, it's been a difficult and it's been a painful process, actually, trying to squeeze everything that we can. You know, I did list within the budget for this fiscal year that we would reduce our space at Wall Street by half. You know, that's not in stone just yet, but we have already had extensive conversations with the landlord, who has actually had his architects come in and measure the space out for us. So we've already begun that conversation with him, and we've had some volunteers that that are architects as well come in to draw up the space. So they've measured everything, and they're currently helping us work on figuring out how we would operate in half the space. But I've also noticed in the past few months, you know, with the dropping of the economy, that there's a tremendous amount of space available in New York, and that the prices are dropping pretty dramatically. So I've been giving a great deal of thought on what it would take for us to entirely break the lease and to move in a substantially smaller space than we're in now. I think that's the biggest hard cost that we have that's reducible. That could make a significant difference. You know, we could easily drop $15,000 to $20,000 per month off of our expenses simply by moving. One of the things that this whole exercise has produced for me is the recognition that probably 75% of our space is storage, even if it's unrecognized storage. You know, the storage of CDs and books and papers and so forth that don't necessarily have to be in A-class business. Property. So, you know, I have a lot of hope there that certainly by the end of the year we should be well along the way for that.
Okay.
That sounds great.
Lori, you're done?
Yep.
Bonnie, then Rob, then AC, then Afia, Carolyn, and Grace. Bonnie.
Yeah, I want to thank all of you for all the work that you're doing, as do, I'm sure, everyone on the board. I was going to delve into some programming questions that I have, but I'm really feeling like our time is so pushed tonight. I just hope that maybe in the middle of January or sometime like that, if that works with your work plan to continue developing this, that perhaps the board and the GMs can put together a phone conference where we spend you know, a couple of hours going over some of these things. I hope that we can do that in January at some point.
Is that right. It? Bonnie, you're done?
But yeah, we don't have time, Sherry. I'm going to pass.
Uh-huh. Rob?
Yeah, I'd like to ask the general managers if they got a copy of the resolution from the programming committee, which was passed by the PNB on November the 16th.
Yes.
Can you refresh me a little?
Yeah, I'd like to know about your plans to increase listenership and membership and recapture people that we've lost. I mean, just tell me a little bit about, I mean, I assume you have plans to do that to begin with.
Yeah.
Okay, somebody...
I mean, it seems to me that that's a relevant question for the time that we're in right now.
Well, it's absolutely relevant. I think probably everybody is staring at the complexity of the question and trying to figure out how to fit it into such a small space.
Uh-huh.
Do you mean it's such a small space, minutes left?
Why, it's in the context of this meeting.
Okay.